We begin, unfortunately, with sad news in Chapel Hill as 2022 ended with yet another fatal collision involving a vehicle and a pedestrian. This one occurred Thursday evening on MLK Boulevard near Taylor Street, just north of Estes Drive. The pedestrian was 63-year-old Christian Albert Ball. He died at UNC hospitals after the crash. Police investigation is still ongoing. Chapel Hill police are also still looking for a missing person. 71-year-old Russell Corvey was last seen on the morning of December 21st near University Gardens on Pritchard Avenue Extension. Call 911 or contact Chapel Hill Police directly if you have any information. This week is a big one for local elected officials as several get sworn into new positions. Today in Washington, Valerie Fouché will take her seat as a new member of Congress, succeeding David Price. And yesterday in Hillsboro, Jeff Niemann was sworn in as the new Orange and Chatham County District Attorney, replacing longtime DA Jim Woodall. Niemann is only the fourth DA in the Orange-Chatham District's history since it split off from Alamance 40 years ago. Meanwhile, in Raleigh, several new state laws go into effect this week, including a 2-cent gas tax hike, a drop in the state's income tax rate, and a new law requiring the governor to get approval from other state leaders before extending statewide emergencies beyond 30 and 60 days. Also in Raleigh, the State Utilities Commission on Friday issued an order directing Duke Energy to take steps to meet a state requirement to cut carbon emissions by 70% by the year 2030, but the commission did not offer any specific directives for how Duke Energy has to meet that goal. Environmental advocates had called for a specific order requiring more renewable sources and less reliance on natural gas. Back locally, a Chapel Hill startup company is taking steps to address the growing need for senior caregivers while also empowering local college students. With more on this, Carolina Connection, Sophie Mallinson.
And then Seagus 2020 and RAISE.
UNC professor Aaron Kent is jotting down study after study relating to caregiving and the care gap. But despite all these studies, many Americans don't know of caregiving challenges until they themselves are impacted. Groups like the National Academy of Medicine have recommendations for state policies that could support and prepare caregivers to help loved ones. Kent co-authored a study that ranked the 50 states and District of Columbia based on how many of these recommendations were met. In North Carolina?
It's bad. It's really bad.
We're 49th. About 18% of North Carolinians reported acting as a caregiver for a friend or family member with a health problem or disability in 2019. But caregivers across the state and country are struggling. An AARP report found about 60% of caregivers feel some form of financial strain in caring for a loved one, and 1 in 4 feel that caregiving has worsened their own health.
Sometimes family members feel really, really burdened and overwhelmed, and not because of their loved one's fault, but because there aren't widespread institutional supports for them to be able to take a break.
But the solution isn't as simple as hiring a care provider from a private company. One study found that of the people who are 65 and older who don't have Medicare, 74% of them could afford home care for 2 years if they liquidate all their assets. This is another aspect of the care gap. People who want care can't afford it. But on Franklin Street, a startup backed by Innovate Carolina is working to close that gap. Care Yaya formally launched earlier this year to provide a new approach to elder care. To founder Neil Shah,
the simplest way to describe it would be like Uber meets care.com.
Using their website, you say where, when, and what care is needed, and a college student with Care Yaya can accept the request. Care Yaya grew out of Shah's own caregiving experiences. He first cared for his grandparents, and then later his wife after a cancer diagnosis. Caring for his loved ones required taking work sabbaticals that were just unsustainable without help.
At that point in my life, I became extremely obsessed with the caregiving problem. I observed throughout just weeks and weeks at the hospitals how many people were dealing with this problem on their own.
Care Yaya is meant to be mutually beneficial. The startup accepts 20% of caregiving applicants, and these are students with intentions to go to things like med school. To get into med school, they should have at least 100 hours of clinical experience. And care students provide through Care Yaya would count toward that. And students work on average for $15 an hour, making home care more affordable for those who need it. Many of Care Yaya's patients come from nurses' referrals, but the help elders need isn't always medical in nature. Many just need help with daily activities of living, getting in and out of bed, making meals, or just companionship. It's these services, not medical ones, that students provide. students like UNC senior Leah Warnke.
A lot of the support the elderly need can be done by just a caring individual, which you will find in a lot of college students.
Warnke's been working with Care Yaya since April, and she's provided care for those with dementia and Parkinson's disease, often being told she reminds them of their grandchild.
There's the aspect of providing physical care, but also it's very much they just want someone to talk to, just listening to them talking about their ailments and their pain. And so it is amazing to be able to see a burden being lifted from someone just by them telling you about their problem.
The experience has changed Warnke's own career goals, from wanting to do pediatrics to now wanting to change healthcare on a policy level. And there's a lot of room for change. When Professor Erin Kent thought of caregiving, she recalled a meeting with writer Jason Karlowish.
He described caregiving as the oldest profession because, you know, we're a species that cares about one another.
And Care Yaya aims to be a new solution to challenges that have been centuries in the making. In Chapel Hill, I'm Sophie Mallinson.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs on Saturday mornings during the fall and spring semesters on 97.9 The Hill. Finally, condolences to the friends and family of Bill McCoy, who served as UNC's acting and interim chancellor in 1999 and 2000. McCoy passed away on Christmas Day at the age of 89. Time on 97.9 The Hill is 6:14. And time now for sports, brought to you this hour by the Sheraton Chapel Hill. Rough weekend for Carolina basketball as the Tar Heel women dropped two straight games and the men also took a loss to end the calendar year. First up, the women, they dropped 9 spots to number 22 in the AP rankings after losing 78-71 to Florida State on Thursday and then 68-65 at Virginia Tech on Sunday. Deja Kelly led the way in both games with 20 points against the Seminoles and 21 against the Hokies. Not enough, though, as the Tar Heels enter 2023 on a 3-game losing streak. Despite that, head coach Courtney Banghart was still upbeat in her comments after that Virginia Tech game.
Yeah, what a great college basketball game. You know, we've had so many good battles with Virginia Tech. Here was another one. We're fighting better than we were before Christmas. I felt like that Michigan game has really turned our corner in terms of how hard we have to play and the physicality that the game provides. And I continue to see improvement from my group, and it's hard to win on the road in the ACC. And we'll keep fighting. We got another chance on Thursday night.
No shame in that Virginia Tech loss. Hokies are in the top 10. Meanwhile, the Tar Heel men went up to Pittsburgh riding a 4-game winning streak, but that's over. They gave up a 9-point lead in the second half and fell to the Panthers on Friday, 76-74. Armando Bacot led the way with 22 points and 13 boards, his 57th career double-double, getting close to the all-time Carolina record there. But the Tar Heels fell despite leading for most of the game. Afterwards, a very disappointed Coach Hubert Davis.
Well, you know, it's all about, you know, executing on both ends of the floor, not for the majority of the game, but for the entire game. And first of all, you have to congratulate Pittsburgh. You know, they made the plays that they needed to make. It's hard to beat any team when you allow them to get 42 points in the paint. That's been an emphasis for us. And at the end of the day, you've got to get defensive stops. You've got to rebound. You've got to execute on the defensive end, and we just didn't do that.
That's Hubert Davis there. Both teams will have a chance to get back on track this week. The Tar Heel men are back home hosting Wake Forest tomorrow night at 9. You heard Courtney Banghart talking about that Thursday game. Women are at Miami Thursday night at 6. We'll have both games for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Elsewhere in sports, a pair of Tar Heel track and field legends are being inducted this year into the North Carolina High School Track and Field and Cross Country Hall of Fame. Charlie Brown and Earl Patterson both had long and successful coaching careers after graduating Carolina. Brown was a 1981 grad. Patterson graduated all the way back in 1912. And in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes got 2 more wins over the weekend, beating Florida and New Jersey to extend their winning streak to a franchise record 11 straight games. The Canes are back in action tonight on the road facing the Rangers at 7.